Hello, lovers, and welcome to this special Valentine's Day episode of Beyond Shakespeare. Yeah. Yes. Today we're looking at the fragments of the lost play The Hunting of Cupid by George Peele. And boy, is this play lost. Bits survive in the oddest places, and there's very little point in trying to put this together into some semblance of an order or of sense. So instead, I've recorded variously the fragments that survive and put it into some kind of tone poem. Because there are several textual variants from the play from different sources, these will repeat, fragment, and coalesce into one another. Bits of it come from the commonplace book of William Drummond, as well as later adaptations of the text as songs and poems printed in collections. So, as I say, it's not going to be linear. There will be some repetition as we try and tease out what potential different meanings could be associated with some of the action. Words will repeat differently, fragment, and dance around the themes of love, of Cupid and his arrows, around the really random lines of dialogue that William Drummond really liked. Outlines of scenes and stuff. If you wait till the end of the episode, you can hear our initial read-through of the text, which will present the fragments in a slightly more coherent order, but considerably less beautifully. Till then, enjoy the voices of Mark Scanlon, Pamela Flanagan, Lee MacDonald, Simon Nader, and Geir Madland, as we dance through the fragments of The Hunting of Cupid by George Peele.
The Hunting of Cupid by George Peele of Oxford. Pastoral. On the snowy brows of Albion. Sweet woods, sweet running brooks, yet chide in a pleasant tune and make quiet murmur, leaving the lilies, mints and waterflowers in their gentle glide. Making her face the mark of his wandering eyes, and his eyes the messengers of his wounded heart. Like a candle keepeth but a little room, yet blazeth round about. Herd groom, with his strawberry lass, some with his sweetheart, making false position, putting a short syllable where a long one should be. Some a false supposition, to celebrate mistress holiday in idleness.
On the snowy brows of Albion.
On the snowy brows of Albion.
On the snowy brows,
on the snowy brows sweet woods, of Albion.
Sweet running brooks. Sweet woods, sweet running brooks.
Sweet woods, sweet running brooks.
Yet chide in a pleasant tune and make quiet murmur,
leaving the lilies, mints and waterflowers in their gentle glide.
Making her face the mark,
of his wondering eyes, and his eyes the messengers of his wounded
like
eyes.
Like a candle keepeth but a little room, yet blazeth round about.
Mints and water flowers in their gentle
herd groom eyes. With his strawberry lass, like a candle
face
keepeth but a little room,
mark,
yet blazeth round
the
about.
Mark of his wondering eyes.
Putting a short syllable where a long one should be.
His eyes the messengers of his wounded
some a false supposition. To celebrate Mistress
Herd
Holiday in idleness.
His strawberry lass. Some with his sweetheart making full position.
Sweet running brooks.
Yet blazeth round
yet
about.
Chide in a pleasant
Herd
tune.
With his strawberry lass.
Quiet murmur leaving the lilies.
On the snowy brows of Albion.
Mints and waterflowers in their gentle glide.
Putting a short syllable where a long one should be.
Sweet woods, sweet running brooks. Yet chide in a pleasant tune, and make quiet murmur, leaving the lilies, mints, and waterflowers in their gentle glide.
Some with his sweetheart making false position, putting a short syllable where a long one should
making
be.
Her face,
making
the mark
her face
of his
the mark of
wondering,
his wondering eyes, and his eyes
and his
the
eyes,
messengers.
The
of
messengers
his
of his
heart.
Wounded heart.
Some a false supposition to celebrate Mistress Holiday in idleness.
Like a candle keepeth but a little room yet blazeth
like a
round
candle
about.
Keepeth but a little room.
Herd groom with his strawberry lass.
About.
Some
her
with
face
his
the mark of his wandering
eyes.
Herd groom and his eyes the messengers of
strawberry lass.
Heart.
Where a long one
some with his
some
sweetheart,
with his sweetheart
making
false position.
Some a false
some
supposition,
a false supposition
Mistress Holiday
to celebrate Mistress Holiday in idleness.
What thing is love for? Well, I wot. Love is a thing. It is a prick. It is a sting. It is a pretty, pretty thing. It is a fire. It is a coal whose flame creeps in at every hole. And, as my wit doth best devise, love's dwelling is in ladies' eyes. From whence do glance love's piercing darts that make such holes into our hearts? And all the world herein accord, love is a great and mighty lord. And when he list to mount so high, with Venus he in heaven doth lie, and evermore hath been a god, since Mars and she played even and odd.
Kiss a little, and use not.
Why, kissing's good.
To stir your blood, to make you well disposed to play.
Ab aquiloni omne malum.
Would have moved tears in wrath herself.
Wrinkled sorrow sate in furrows of a fair face, famous for his ill fortune.
You yet think there is no heaven but on earth. You yet suck poison instead of honey.
He exceedeth fiends in cruelty. And fortune
in
unconstancy.
Set up Cynthia by day and Cytherea by night. She straked his head and missed his horns, who bluntly bespake her. Grew this sweet rose in the sour stalk, at Venus entreat for Cupid her son.
Cupid's arrows. These arrows by Vulcan are cunningly done. The first is love, the second shaft is hate.
At Venus entreat for Cupid her son.
These arrows by Vulcan are cunningly done.
The first is love.
The first
the
is
second
love.
Shaft is hate.
The second shaft is hate.
But this is hope from whence sweet comfort springs. This jealousy in basest minds doth dwell.
His metal Vulcan Cyclops fetched from hell.
What thing is love? For sure love is a thing. Love is a prick. Love is a sting. Love is a pretty, pretty thing. Love is a fire. Love is a coal whose flame creeps in at every hole. And as myself can best devise, his dwelling is in ladies' eyes, from whence he stoots his dainty darts into the lusty gallant's hearts. And ever since was called a god, that Mars with Venus played even and odd.
His metal Vulcan Cyclops fetched from hell a smacking kiss, yet waked me. With the dine.
A smacking kiss yet waked me with the dine.
A smacking kiss yet waked me with the dine. New good and eschew it. Praise chasteness and follow lustful love like the old Athenian. All quickly come home by weeping cross. Highest imperial orb and throne of the thunder.
Et non moria invitus, shelter and shade.
Holdeth them faster than Vulcan's fine fires kept Mars.
A song to be sung for a wager. A dish of damsons new gathered off the trees.
A song to be sung for a wager. A dish of damsons new gathered off the trees. A song to be sung for a wager. A dish of damsons new gathered off the trees.
A song to be sung for a wager. A dish of damsons new gathered off the trees.
Melampus. When will love be void of fears?
When jealousy hath neither eyes nor ears.
Melampus, tell me when is love best fed?
When it hath sucked the sweet, yet ease hath bred.
What thing is love? For sure I am, it is a thing. It is a prick. It is a thing. It is a pretty, pretty thing. It is a fire. It is a coal whose flame creeps in at every hole. And as my wits do best devise, love's dwelling is in ladies' eyes.
Licorice as sweet to him as
licorice? As sweet to him as
licorice. As sweet to him as licorice.
Licorice. As sweet to him as licorice.
What thing is love? For sure I am, it is a thing.
Cors apit, et pulmo loquitur, fel comuet, splenridere facit, cogit amore jecur.
A hot liver most be in a lover.
What thing is love? For sure I am, it is a thing. It is a prick, it is a thing, it is a pretty, pretty thing. It is a fire, it is a coal, whose flame creeps in at every hole. And as my wits do best devise, love's dwelling is in ladies' eyes.
A hot liver most be in a lover.
To commend anything is the Italian manner of craving.
It is a coal whose flame creeps in at every hole.
A hot liver
and as my
most
wits
be in a lover.
Love's dwelling is in ladies' eyes.
What thing is love? For sure I am, it is a thing. It is a prick. It is a thing. It is a pretty, pretty thing. It is a fire. It is a coal whose flame creeps in at every hole. And, as my wits do best devise, love's dwelling is in ladies' eyes.
A hot liver most be in a lover.
To commend anything
a hot liver most
is the Italian
be...
manner
hot
of
liver. Most be in a lover.
My heart is like a point of geometry, indivisible. And where it goes all. Hard heart yet did thy reed, poor shepherd, break. Thy reed yet was the trumpet of thy wit. Yet thou unworthy sound thy phoenix praise, and with this slender pipe her glory raise. Cupid, enraged to see a thousand boys as fair as he sit shooting in her eyes, fell down. And she plucked all his plumes and made herself a fan, suring him her true little serving man.
At Venus' entreaty for Cupid, her son, these arrows by Vulcan were cunningly done. The first is love, as here you may behold. His feathers, head, and body are of gold. The second shaft is hate, a foe to love, and bitter are his torments for to prove. The third is hope, from whence our comfort springs. His feathers are pulled from fortune's wings. Fourth, jealousy in basest minds doth dwell. This metal Vulcan's Cyclops sent from hell.
Melampus, when will love be void of fears?
When jealousy had neither eyes nor ears.
Melampus, when will love be thoroughly shrieved?
When it is hard to speak and not believe.
Melampus, when is love most malcontent?
When lovers range and bear their bows unbent.
Melampus, tell me, when takes love least harm?
When swains' sweet pipes are puffed and trolls are worn.
Melampus, tell me, when is love best fed?
When it hath sucked the sweet that ease hath bred.
Melampus, when is time in love ill spent?
When it earns meed and yet receives no rent.
Melampus, when is time well spent in love?
When deeds win meeds and words love's works do prove.
Muse, choose. My mistress feeds the air. Air feeds not her. Light of the light she is, delight supreme. Yet so far from the likeness of her sex, for she is the bird whose name doth end in X. Not clouds cast from this spongy element, nor darkness shot from Orca's pitchy eyes. Yet both her suns veiled with her arch beauties. Her words such quickening odours cast as raise the sick and make the soundest think air is not wholesome, till her walk be past more than the fountains. Till the unicorns drink a thousand echoes waked upon her voice.
Those milky mounts he every morning haunts.
Cupid, those milky mounts he every morning haunts, where to their drink his mother's doves he calls. In my younger days, when my wits ran a wool gathering, some pretty lie he coined.
These milky mounts he every morning haunts, where to their drink his mother's doves he calls. In my younger days.
In my younger days, when my wits run a wool gathering, some pretty lie he coined.
In my younger days, when my wits ran a wool gathering,
In my younger days, when my wits ran a wool gathering, some pretty lie he coined. Muse, choose. My mistress feeds the air. Air feeds not her. Light of the light she is. Delight supreme. Yet so far from the lightness of her sex, for she is the bird whose name doth end in X. Not clouds cast from this spongy element, nor darkness shot from Orcus' pitchy eyes. Yet both her suns veiled with her arch beauties. Her words such quickening odors cast, as raise the sick and make the soundest think air is not wholesome, till her walk be past. More than the fountains, till the unicorns drink a thousand echoes,
The Hunting of Cupid by George Peel of Oxford. Pastoral.
In The Hunting of Cupid by George Peel, the voices were Mark Scanlon, Pamela Flanagan, Lee MacDonald, Simon Nader, and Gia Madland. Technical presentation by Robert Crichton. And now, the Irregulars Exploring Session from 2019 with Alan Scott, Liz Cole, and Mark Scanlon.
Yes, so for the listeners at home, we've been given snacks, so...
We might get a little burn.
You know, honestly, this is actually how I would like to be doing this every time. I'd much rather we had snacks and access to coffee. I have to say, this is a much more civilised way of doing this. I'd like to go forward to page 30, The Hunting of Cupid.
Intriguing. Mm.
So this is a lost play.
We found it, obviously.
Well, somebody went through various references to this play. It's by George Peel. It was registered under the Stationers' Company on the 26th of July, 1591. And what we've got is various fragments from different sources, all of which sort of rehearse the same material. So it doesn't really get as much further. So we're going 32, 34 of this material. So the first bit is from somebody's commonplace book. This is basically somebody's home notebook of which they've written in bits what they liked from the play. Probably from a printed edition that we've now lost. Later on, we come to some bits of poetry or songs which were printed in other books, which cover pretty much exactly the same material, but with some differences. Now, the commonplace book is a mess, so this is a bit weird and Dada-esque. We're not likely to get any real sense of what's going on, and I don't really know how we're going to read through this. I think what we'll do is this, I'll ask Alan, could you just read the register, the first paragraph at the top, which is just the reference from the register.
The Hunting of Cupid, a lost play by George Peel. Register of the Stationers' Company, 26th July, 1591. Richard Tones entered unto him for his copy under Thorns of the Bishop of London and Master Watkins, a book entitled The Hunting of Cupid, written by George Peel, Master of Arts of Oxford. Provided always that if it be hurtful to any other copy before licensed, then this to be void.
So something odd there. Suggestion that possibly there's a corrupt copy, or maybe there's some plagiarism going on, which would be odd thing in the early modern life. Something weird is noted there. Okay, Mark, if we can go down to the Hunting of Cupid pastoral, if you could read the first that first random paragraph of text.
What, on
the snowy brows. Mm-hmm. Give that a go as one unit of thing. I don't know if it is or not. Okay.
On the snowy brows of Albion. Sweet woods, sweet running brooks, yet chide in a pleasant tune and make quiet murmur, leaving the lilies, mints and waterflowers in their gentle glide, making her face the mark of his wandering eyes, and his eyes the messengers of his wounded heart. Like a candle keepeth, but a little room yet blazeth round about. Heard groom with his strawberry lass, some with his sweetheart, making false position, putting a short syllabe where a long one should be.
Syllable.
So it's like there's sort of random thoughts or notes about something that happened in the play. Mm-hmm. So, and then just occasional random lines of dialogue. So like a candle keepeth but a little room yet blazeth round about feels like a quote.
Memorable phrases.
Really. Yeah, whereas the next bit's some with his sweetheart making false position sounds like possibly that's more like a trying to figure out an action of a scene.
Yeah, it's a praise here, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but it's sort of this is what it keeps dancing about. I'd like us to do go round now, one line at a time, through this next part. So the random one-liners that we have here, they are some of them are connected, some of them are not. So if we start with Alan with some false, then what thing? Mm-hmm. It is a prick. I'll do the it is a pretty, and we'll go on from there. You will start getting a sense of déjà vu eventually.
Some a false supposition to celebrate mistress holiday in idleness.
What thing is love for? Well, I wot, love is a thing.
It is a prick, it is a sting.
It is a pretty, pretty thing.
It is a fire, it is a coal,
whose flame creeps in at every hole.
And as my wit doth best devise,
love's dwelling is in ladies' eyes.
From whence do glance love's piercing darts
that make such holes into our hearts?
And in all the world herein accord,
love is a great and mighty lord.
And when he list to mount so high,
with Venus he in heaven doth lie.
And evermore hath been a god,
since Mars and she played even an odd.
Kiss a little and use not.
Now, it keeps going, and I think we'll keep going in that sort of fashion. The Q&R, I'm thinking, means question and response, and there's a reason why I think that, which will come up later. We don't need to say the Q&R, right. So just do each one line at a time again, okay. Same famed fashion.
Why kissing's good?
To stir your blood, to make you
well-disposed to play, ab quelone omne malum.
Would have moved tears in wrath herself.
Wrinkled sorrow sate in furrows of a fair face.
Famous for his ill fortune, you yet think there is no
heaven but on earth. You yet suck poison instead of honey.
He exceedeth fiends in cruelty and fortune in inconstancy.
Set up Cynthia by day and Cythria by night.
She straked his head, struck his head and missed his horns.
Who bluntly bespake her.
Grew this sweet rose in this sour stalk.
Let Venus entreat for Cupid her son.
Cupid's arrows.
These arrows by Vulcan are cunningly done.
The first is love, the second shaft is hate.
But this is hope from whence sweet comfort springs.
This jealousy in basest minds doth dwell.
His metal Vulcan's cyclops fetched from hell.
A smacking kiss yet waked me with the dine.
New good and eschew it, praise chasteness and follow.
Lustful love like the old Athenian.
Or quickly come home by weeping cross.
Highest imperial orb and throne of the thunder.
Et non muria in vultus, shelter and shade.
Holdeth them faster than Vulcan's fine fires kept Mars.
So there's definitely a sense of love and pain and misery and love's Cupid's arrows. Getting a sense, no sense of a plot, per se. But, you know, we know the title, so Cupid's hunting.
Well, somebody's deceiving somebody because he stroked his head and missed his horns.
Yeah. So there's some infidelity occurring here. Let us move on. We'll keep going in the same fashion. I don't know where we got to. Who was
Kept
last?
Mars.
Alan, if start with a song.
A song to be sung for a wager, a dish of damsons new gathered off the trees.
Melampus, when will love be void of fears?
Till jealousy hath neither eyes nor ears.
Melampus, tell me, when is love best fed?
When it hath sucked the sweet, yet ease hath bred.
Licorice is sweet to him as licorice.
Cor sapit et pulmo quocita fel commuet.
Spleen ridere facit coge amor ericur.
A hot liver most be in a lover.
To commend anything is the Italian manner of craving.
I mean, it's this thing. It's
licorice is as sweet as licorice. Yeah, I like that.
Well, I think that may be a distortion because the first licorice was spelt differently. It may be that someone is licorice licorice. Okay. Licorice. It might be liverish in that sense. So Livery. Following on or preparing us for the whole hot liver thing. But again, it's going from a call and response gig, someone asking questions, someone giving a response, to just random lines. And we don't know if this is chronological through the play or whether it's just randomness happening. Anyway, if we can go from the top of 32, let's continue in this fashion.
Who was it now?
I don't know who was last.
You did the Italians. So
yes, quite right.
Liz, so...
Oh, it's me. Right. My heart is like a point of geometry, indivisible.
And where it goes all.
Hard heart, yet did thy reed, poor shepherd, break.
Thy reed yet was the trumpet of thy wit.
Yet, though unworthy sound, thy phoenix praise.
And with this slender pipe her glory raise.
Cupid in a rage to see a thousand boys,
as fair as he sits shooting in her eyes,
fell down, and she
plucked all his plumes and made herself a fan,
suring him her true little serving man.
Muse. Now that's that definitely feels like a little storyette, isn't it? It's someone talking about Cupid and Venus or something like that kind of thing. It's all dancing around this story, isn't it? Anyway, let us continue. Mark.
Muse, choose.
My mistress feeds the air. The air feeds not her.
Light of the light she is, delight supreme.
Yet so far from the lightness of her sex.
For she is as a bird whose name doth end in X.
Not clouds cast from this spongy element.
Nor darkness shot from Orcus' pitchy eyes.
Yet both her sons veiled with her arch beauties.
Her words such quickening odours cast.
To raise the sick and make the soundest think.
Air is not wholesome till her walk past be... till her walk be past.
More than the fountains, till the unicorns drink.
A thousand echoes wait upon her voice.
Those milky mounts he every morning haunts.
Where to their drink his mother's doves he calls.
In my younger days, when my wits ran a wool gathering.
Some pretty lie he coined.
And that's the end of the commonplace book.
I think it's going to be ran wool gathering rather than ranner.
Your wits run a wool gathering.
Run
space a wool gathering.
Run a wool gathering. You sort of naturally did it, so I think that's right. So I have made a note. Okay, the next little selections that you will now get a sense of déjà vu. These are, however, from little collections. Published collections of bits and bobs from George Peel, and you will notice that these are a bit more formally present. So, Alan, could I ask you to read from England's Parnassus from 1600?
What, and then the following stanza?
Do the whole, this little bit of poetry in its own beautiful right.
Okay. From England's Parnassus, 1600. At Venus' entreaty for Cupid her son, these arrows by Vulcan were cunningly done. The first is love, as here you may behold. His feathers, head and body are of gold. The second shaft is hate, a foe to love, and bitter are his torments for to prove. The third is hope, from whence our comfort springs, his feathers are pulled from fortune's wings. Fourth, jealousy in basest minds doth dwell, this metal Vulcan Cyclops sent from hell.
So we recognise little bits of this from earlier, but in a formal, proper bit of verse. And it does feel like this is filling in some back plot, and that this was obviously a well-known bit that was quite popular, and that's why it gets reprinted here, as well as being picked up by somebody else. Now, the next bit from England's Helicon, 1600, Coridon and Melampus songs. This is a song. In theory, we're not going to sing it. We'll just do it as a back and forth thing. I think Mark, who can be Coridon, and Melampus, I think seems to be female. I could be wrong on this front. Liz.
Melampus, when will love be void of fears?
When jealousy hath neither eye nor ears.
Melampus, when will love be thoroughly shrieved?
When it's hard to speak and not believe.
Melampus, when is love most malcontent?
When lovers range and bear their bows unbent.
Bows, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry.
Do Melampus, when is love most malcontent.
Okay. Melampus, when is love most malcontent?
When lovers range and bend their bows unbent.
Melampus, tell me, when takes love least harm?
When swain's sweet pipes are pushed.
Puffed. I think it's puffed. Yeah, puffed.
And trowels are warm. Oh.
Melampus, tell me, when is love best fed?
When it hath sucked the sweet that ease hath bred.
Melampus, when is time in love ill spent?
When it earns meed and yet receives no rent.
Melampus, when is time well spent in love?
When deeds win meeds and words love's works do prove.
So, it's a little formal song, back and forthy kind of thing. We then have another couple of references to a thing we've already had, which is pretty much exactly the same each time. So, Alan, if you could do the, from manuscript, the roll,
so that
something
verse.
Manuscript, that yeah. verse, please.
Fine. From the manuscript, Roll Poet 85. Thing is love, for sure love is a thing. Love is a prick, love is a sting. Love is a pretty, pretty thing. Love is a fire, love is a coal, whose flame creeps in at every hole. And as myself can best devise, his dwelling is in ladies' eyes, from whence he stoots his dainty darts into the lusty gallant's hearts. And ever since was called a god, that Mars with Venus played even and odd.
So. Pretty similar to what we had earlier. That was pretty accurately done. And then we have almost exactly the same thing from the Wisdom of Dr. Dottipole from 1600. Liz, if you could read the sort of opening italicised bit, and then Mark, if you could do the song.
Mm-hmm. From the Wisdom of Dr. Dottipole, 1600. Enter Cornelia Sola, looking upon the picture of Albedura in a little jewel, and singing. Enter the doctor and the merchant following, and hearkening to her.
What thing is love? For sure I am, it is a thing. It is a prick, it is a thing. It is a pretty, pretty thing. It is a fire, it is a coal, whose flame creeps in at every hole. And as my wits do best devise, love's dwelling is in ladies' eyes.
So this song seems to have been... this bit of verse seems to have been either a song or turned into a song, and it became a popular song. So it turns up in this other thing, and it's just been nabbed.
And there's an when I saw the first verse here, the one from Rawl, immediately reminded of Adrian Henry's poem from the 60s, Love Is. And Love Is a fan club with only two fans. Love is steam in the back of a van.
Well, it sounds awfully familiar to me. I mean, love is a prick, love is a sting, love is a pretty, pretty thing. That rings a bell. But that's all we have. That's all we have. I kind of want to create a sort of weird oral tone poem based on this.
Well, it's
and
kind
sort of just
like
let bits of the text drift in and out. And not worry about presenting the, trying to figure out what the story was. I mean, no, we've got a bit of
it's random lines. It's good quotable
quotes.
Kind
of works as a whole. Yeah, but it sounds quite pretty.
Yeah, and I think that's something that I will do, and we'll mix in with us discussing it. But yes, I mean that commonplace book stuff is just. It feels like he's just gone through. He had a copy of the book, and he just started copying out bits, and he ended up with the bits he liked, and occasionally filling in details of what happened we don't understand his shorthand, so we don't know what's going on.
I wonder,
spelling's weird.
I wonder whether it could be a transcription job.
Well, it is.
But it could also be recollections from a performance.
The similarity in the lines, I mean, when he gets it right, and we know he gets it right, suggests that he's a copying out job. And we know it was printed, so it's the most plausible.
Some of the italicised instructions, where Cornelia's on her own, looking at the picture of Alba Dure in a little jewel, you've got those little miniature
portraits, but
like
that's
Nicholas Hilliard.
But that's almost certainly not from the original play. That's they nicked that song from this play to go into the action of a different play. The context of singing to a jewel. I mean, maybe there's a connection with that, because it's all about, there does seem to be that sense of the visualness of love coming in.
Just a quick thought. From the stage direction, I think it's actually the female voice singing the song. I just wonder whether it's worth it if Liz had a crack at reading that.
I can't sing.
No, not singing, but what it sounds like in a female voice rather than a male voice.
Let's just do the song that song again.
What thing is love? For sure I am, it is a thing. It is a prick, it is a thing. It is a pretty, pretty thing. It is a fire, it is a coal, whose flame creeps in every hole. And as my wits do best devise, love's dwelling in lady's eyes.
It's weird, because it's sort of not as good a version as the one from the previous. But it's also sort of weirdly better in context. So, you know, it is a prick, it is a thing. That extraneous extra thing, because it's sting in the other. But it's almost because in this context she's holding a thing. And the fact that it's a bit not very good is sort of feels appropriate for someone talking about love, that it's a bit rubbish. That's sort of...
A bit mushy.
I liked that. I don't think there's really anything more to say, because we have so little...